Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Sunday morning service at Faith Baptist Church in Greenfield. We hope you enjoy the message brought to you from God's Word.
Judges chapter 9. We're going to read a lot of passages of Scripture this morning. Now, I have no agenda other than the Jesus agenda. My desire is for a more beautiful kind of Christianity. I want to be known for my grace, for my love. I want to be known the way Jesus was known. We have an earthly passport, but we have a heavenly citizenship. We have ultimately one king and one kingdom that we live in, ultimately. And we need to be reminded about that. Let's stand as we read God's word this morning. We're going to read a bunch of passages this morning, so if you need to sit down as we read that, I understand. The scripture says, give attention to the reading of the word, so this morning we'll do that. Judges chapter 9. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, all of Beth Millo, and they went and made Abimelech king beside the terebinth tree at the pillar that was in Shechem. Now when they told Jotham, he went and stood up on the top of the mount and lifted his voice and cried out and said to them, listen to me, you men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, should I cease giving my oil with which they honor God and men and go to sway over trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, you come and reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go to sway over trees? Then the tree said to the vine, you come and reign over us. But the vine said to them, should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and men to go sway over trees? Then all the trees said to the bramble, thornbush, you come and reign over us. And the bramble said to the trees, if in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if you had acted in truth and sincerity in making Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house and have done to him as he deserves. I go to 1 Samuel chapter 8. This is a popular passage of scripture, almost kind of in transition between judges to kings and how it was tense. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said, look, you're old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, which they have forsaken me and served other gods. So they are doing to you also. Now, therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who shall reign over them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. That's the Old Testament story. Now let's go to the New Testament story, John chapter 18. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate answered and said, Are you a king? Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who hears is of the truth, hears my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Then they cried out again, saying, No, not this man, but Barabbas. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded with a loud, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Philippians chapter 2, we learn a little bit about the character and the attitude of this king. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of absolutely no reputation, even taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those of earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this is the reading of God's word. Amen. You may be seated. Some great passages of scripture and a really good reminder. There are, give or take, about 80 days left before the election is over, and I, for one, can't wait. In 80 days or so, we're going to have a new president, no matter who gets voted in. We will pray and live a quiet and peaceable life, as Paul tells us to. But 80 days is still, well, 80 days. How in the world are we going to survive the next 80 days without killing each other? Seriously. As a people, as a nation, as Christians, how in the world are we going to do that without throwing each other under the bus? Seriously. I'll tell you how. We remember that ultimately there's one king, and ultimately there's one kingdom. We have earthly passports, but heavenly citizenship. How? That's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. And I hope that as we go, are we reminded that Jesus Christ is King and he brought this kingdom that we're to walk in and live in, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see. I want a more beautiful kind of Christianity living in this world. While we live in the kingdoms of this world, I want a more beautiful kind of Christianity. Because I know ultimately that I live in the kingdom of God. We're in this world, but really not of it. And we have to remind ourselves of that. I want a more beautiful kind of Christianity. One that is centered on faith, hope, love. One that's centered on the gospel. One that's centered on the kingdom of God, ultimately. I don't want to conflate my political ideologies with, well, the kingdom of God. But let's be honest, politics can be rough, can be very tense, right? I mean, there's a reason why I don't talk about religion and don't talk about politics, because those are hot topics, very tense topics. They've always been tense. In fact, one of the most contested political rivalries was between the Vice President of the United States, Aaron Burr, and the former Secretary of Treasury, Alexander Hamilton. You remember that? The most famous duel in American history. And they dueled not over religion, not over girls, not over money, but over politics. They argued about politics forever, and they had heated discussions, and finally they thought the only way to settle this is, let's shoot each other. Wow, that's great. We don't do that today, do we? Ooh. Fortunately, we don't get our guns out, but we do use our mouth like a weapon. We do use our mouth like a weapon, like James says. How can we be civil and Christian over the next 80 days? How can we be Jesus over the next 80 days? In fact, things are just so volatile, especially even this season, that Rick Warren is the pastor at Saddleback Community Church, mega pastor, popular pastor. Every election season, he usually has the candidates come into his church and just present their heart. This year, he says, I am not doing it. He goes, everybody is just not acting right, including Christians. Just volatile. And in this article I was reading, and one of the reasons is because when you have candidates acting so volatile and aggressive, it's no wonder the followers act like the candidates. As Christians, we have a king. We only have one king. Our full allegiance is only to one king. And our full allegiance is ultimately only in one kingdom. We're just sojourners passing through. We pray for a king. We do what we can. We respect. But our citizenship is not ultimately here. Our full allegiance is to Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So this morning, I want to tell you a story about how our king, the King of Kings, became king. But first, I read a very interesting parable in the book of Judges, the parable of trees. Now, the context is about a people who was going to make this man, Abimelech, king. Abimelech was the son of Gideon, a very great man, a very good man, a judge of Israel. But according to the Bible, Abimelech was an unprincipled, ambitious ruler, often engaged with war with his own people. His father had great leadership, but Abimelech focused more on his personal gain and hurting many in the process. Abimelech was not a judge of Israel, but he was kind of like a usurper. He wanted more authority, so to speak. And he wanted to rule Israel, and so he was going to eliminate any threats to his rule. And he was going to get people to vote for him. He murdered all his brothers. The only one that was left alive was Jotham, who's speaking. He's persuading all the people in the area to recognize him as king and to make him king. This is the situation, very tense politically. Very tense. Jotham hears about this, and he can't help but speak up. He knows it's not going to go over well. But he tells a parable. He tells a parable about these trees looking for a king tree. And he goes and asks all these trees to be king that are really good, and none of them want to. Then he comes to this thorn bush, bramble. And he says, oh, sure, I will be king, but... And you could read the rest, or you could actually fill in the blank. And if you don't make me king, I will do, well, fill in the blank. That kind of sets up the story of how our king became King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It actually begins in the Old Testament. Anything that we want to talk about Jesus begins in the Old Testament, because the story of Israel is really the story of our King Jesus. All the stories that we find in the Old Testament, all these stories ultimately find their culmination in Jesus Christ, the bigger story. And this story begins with a people, begins with the call of Abraham, and it begins with a people that were enslaved to a pharaoh, a bramble-like king, so to speak. He was very oppressive to these Hebrew people. And he made them into slaves so he could build these big projects. And this was a great injustice. And these Hebrew people, these were a bunch of nobodies. And God heard their cries. God heard their prayers. And God liberated them from this house of bondage. And he led them out of Egypt, and he led them into a desert where they were there for quite a while. There they wrestled with God, and there in the desert, God gave them the law. And eventually God gave them a land that was plentiful, a land that was overflowing with milk and honey. And God says, I will be your king. I will be your redeemer. And I will give you priests, I will give you judges, I will give you priests so you know the way of worship, I will give you judges so you will treat people right, and I will give you prophets that will critique the priests and the judges. But you will have no king, he said. You are sojourners in this world. You will not be like the Gentile nations. I alone am your God. I alone am your king. And the people got very comfortable in their land. Things were good. Life was flourishing. Then they started to get fearful. Then they started to wonder if the system of judges is really going to work out. And then they started looking at all the Gentile nations and how their kings were doing so much for the nations and providing all kinds of things. And they said, we need a king just like them. Samuel heard this. They were warned by a prophet, no, you shall not be like the Gentile nations. And they say, no, we need a king. We want a king. And God said this, okay, give them what they want. Be careful. Be careful. Not everything we pray for, we should get. Not everything you pray for, you want. And God warned them, though, if you get a king, you're going to be sorry. And so God gave them a king, but God in his grace and his mercy said this, I'll give you kings, but then I promise you, I will give you a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I promise you the king that I'm going to give you, his kingdom will have no end. The king that I'm going to give you is going to be unlike any other king that you're going to experience for the next 1,000 years. And so God gave them a king. He gave them the son of Kish. He was kind of arrogant, prideful. He was even kind of jealous. When things get hot politically, and when an up-and-coming great political man was going to come on the scene, he got very jealous of this person. So jealous that he tried to kill him. He became insane. He became very cruel. He started doing cruel things, not only to enemies, but to his own people. Then there was a boy born in Bethlehem, to back up a little bit. Then there was a son of Jesse, a nobody, a shepherd boy. He was kind of rising up and people were talking about him. He was doing some great things politically. They were writing songs about this guy. And he became king. He became the greatest king that Israel ever had. So great that God said this, I will give you a king that will be in the line of David. He's not going to be just like David, but he's going to be better than David. So this son of Jesse became the greatest king Israel ever had. He died, and his son became king. We know him as Solomon. The wisest man who ever lived. That's what tradition says. But sometimes when you read about him, you wonder. He had 700 wives and concubines. Wise? Not so much. But he was a great builder. He built great cities. He built armies. He built palaces. In fact, he even built the temple of God. But there was something else he did that wasn't so wise. He built pagan temples as well. He built a temple to Molech and Chemosh, not so wise. There are many other kings that have come and gone, and you could read about them in the Bible. For the most part, they were pretty bad. They were like Bramble. Fast forward 1,000 years, there was a lot of talk about this king being born. A king of kings, a messianic king, the hope of Israel. A little confusion about him. Is he like a suffering king, a suffering servant, a warrior king? There's a little confusion about exactly what kind of king this was going to be, but he was born. And as soon as he was born, all the politicians got nervous. King Herod got nervous. You remember the story? Oh, a king being born? We can't have that. So he thought he went on a killing spree. He freaked out. And so this couple hears about this nobody. There are nobodies, Mary and Joseph. And so they decided to run. They went to Egypt to hide out for a while. They escaped that. They came back and kind of grew up in Nazareth. This so-called king grew up in Nazareth. For 30 years, though, he lived in obscurity. You didn't really hear much about him. This king that was born 30 years ago is now just a carpenter. Poor. Just looks pretty ordinary. And then suddenly, after 30 years of living in obscurity, this king makes an announcement. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, he makes this unbelievable announcement. The time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled to announce the King of Kings. The time is fulfilled to announce the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. This king says, I have good news. You've lived in these kingdoms under these kings, but now I have good news. This king goes around preaching this type of repentance. He goes around preaching this type of kingdom of God, this good news, the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 4, he goes around preaching the kingdom of God. He goes around to teaching in Galilee, the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He goes around, he's a good king. He goes around healing people, not oppressing people. He goes around loving people. He goes around serving people, not trying to get subjects. He goes around healing all kinds of sickness and diseases among the people. And people were loving this. People were saying, who is this king? He was advocating for people and children and sinners and tax collectors and Gentiles and Samaritans. But the religious people were offended by this. The politicians didn't know what to do with him. They thought he was just kind of going to come and go. So they didn't really bother him at first, but they kept a close eye on him. But it was the religious people that were offended, but he went around doing all kinds of miracles. He turned water to wine one time. He walked on water. He cast out demons, raised the dead, and he invited anyone to come to his table. He told his disciples, go to the highways and byways and compel them to come to my house. And they came. Sinners came. The outcast came. The sick came. The foreigners came. They all came. His fame spread over. But some of the religious traditionalists thought that Jesus crossed the line way too many times. So things were starting to get tense, not just religiously, but then they started to get tense politically as well. They're so tense that the religious people started calling him names. That was their campaign. They conspired behind his back. They tried to trap him in his words. They questioned him. They said, you seem to be against God instead of for God. They called him names. They said, you're a drunkard. You're a friend of sinners. You're a crazy man. They thought he was just a loose cannon that needed to be silenced. He challenged the powerful of the day. He wasn't afraid to do that. Jesus had everybody confused. Once you think you put Jesus in a box, he's going to say something and do something that just cracks that box. He doesn't fit any mold. He doesn't fit the Republican mold. He doesn't fit the Democrat mold. He doesn't fit any mold. He's Lord. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. Sometimes he'll say something very conservative, and then sometimes he'll say something very liberal. They were so confused about him. They didn't even know where he stood. They put Jesus in the corner. How many times to trap him? Moses says this. What do you say? He chose to defend a Samaritan woman, a woman caught in adultery, a tax collector. One time there was a woman washing his feet that seemed very inappropriate. He defended her. His own disciples were a little bit confused. But he loved them. They would even forsake him and betray him and deny him, but yet he still loved them. He challenged the very powerful of the day. Read his parables. He challenged the rich. I mean, he was even getting a little sarcastic. He says this, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man goes to heaven. He would challenge people like that. He challenged the powerful. Read the parables. But one thing he did speak out against was hypocrisy, religious hypocrisy. He had some harsh words to say about those things. Let me just pause here for a second. We want to be known more for our love, But the, you know, sometimes the world knows what we're against instead of they know what we're for. We wonder why, though. I mean, why are we constantly fighting about issues when there are people? People. How many times did Jesus challenge us to be more known for our love? That's how the world's going to know we follow him, that we're his disciples. Jesus was this untamable character, this untamable king. No one had this king figured out. He wasn't a Republican guy, a Democrat guy. He was Lord. That's what I want to be. I want to be a Jesus guy. I don't want to be a Republican guy or a Democrat guy. I want to be a Jesus guy. I don't want to be a Republican church or a Democrat church. I want to be a Jesus church, ultimately. And then the very last week of his life, things got tense politically, very politically. He was in the upper room, and this king said, knelt down and started washing his feet, and some of the disciples said, Peter said this, no king is going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, yeah, I must wash your feet. And then he says this in John chapter 13. He says this, I must wash your feet. And then he said this, go and do the same. Go and do the same to the world. Go. Go and do the same. Well, that night, this king was arrested by another, he was arrested and then brought before another king and governor, Pilate. And Pilate asked, are you king of the Jews? And Jesus says, you say it rightly. John chapter 18, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. I don't think some of us believe that. It's not of this world. I didn't come to do your politics. I came to do my politics. My kingdom is from God. And the governor was a very political man, and he said this. Well, what is truth? Long story short, this governor, this politician, signed the papers to execute this so-called king of the Jews. And everybody thought, finally, we're going to silence this king. The politicians and King Herod said, good. The religious leaders of the day said, good. And they killed him. They crucified him in the most brutal way. Little did they know that the crown of thorns that they put on his head, that was his crown. That was his crown. The cross was his throne at this moment. Because according to Philippians chapter 2, this was exactly the way Jesus became King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It was through this ultimate act of love and sacrifice and redemption that the world is saved, that we are saved. This is the way Jesus became Lord. So whose side is God on? And I just need a few more minutes. I'll tell you whose side it is on. In Joshua chapter 5, Joshua goes up to Jericho. He sees a man standing there, looks like an angel, and a sword is drawn. And Joshua said, oh, whose side are you on? And the angel said, neither. That's pretty radical, actually. You're not fighting the Lord's enemies? I'm not on your side. I'm not on their side. I have my own side. Neither. That was radical. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you followed an elephant or a donkey. What it matters is if you followed the lamb. 5,000 years from now, we're going to forget what the heck an elephant or a donkey meant, but we're going to be singing for all eternity about the lamb and his kingdom that has no end. So how can we get through these 80 days? Well, very quickly, I'm just going to lay them out very quickly. Let's not be so angry. Jesus is king, okay? He's king. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Let's not be so angry. Put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. You know what politics is? A sideshow. It's a circus. That's all it is. Now, certainly, there's a place for it. I'm not advocating for that. I'm advocating that this, don't be so angry. It's not worth it. It's just a sideshow. The only person that can be angry, it's Jesus, and he's really not that angry. Certainly not as angry as some people. Number two, don't be so worried. Jesus is king. He's king. This is a beautiful kind of Christianity. Be anxious for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Then let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, because he is king. We're not here promoting a Republican platform. You shouldn't either, or a Democratic platform. You shouldn't either. You're here promoting the kingdom of God. I don't speak for anybody other than Jesus. I'm advocating that we walk in the Spirit. I'm advocating that we live out the Sermon on the Mount. I'm advocating that we follow Jesus and learn of him because he's meek and lowly of heart. I advocate the Jesus walk. I also, and I had like 50 things, and I tried to condense them, but also this one, and it's this. Love people more than your positions. Jesus did this over and over and over and over again. He didn't care if he was misunderstood or not, and he was misunderstood. He didn't care when he defended a woman caught in adultery. She was guilty as guilty could be, but yet he defended her in front of everybody. She was the wrong person. The Sabbath is an excellent example. He attacked the Sabbath more than anything else. In fact, at one time, it seems like he made somebody break the Sabbath on purpose. Because they were forgetting that he was all about people. And he said this, the Sabbath was made for man. So love people more than your positions. At the end of the day, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but, you know, we have a lot of issues, and who the heck knows? I'm really not that much into politics, to be honest with you, and I don't even know. Some of these issues are just way above me, and I'm ignorant when it comes to a lot of stuff like that, and I know it's a lot more complicated than that, but for dummies like myself, I'm just going to choose the most loving thing and the most Jesus thing, plain and simple. When in doubt, choose mercy over judgment. Number three, let's be patient with each other. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If you have to, just put up with each other. Be gentle with each other, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Everyone has different perspectives. Everyone is on a different, journey with God, and we're all on different perspectives. Let's understand that. Let's respect that. Let's support each other on the journey that we're all on. I mean, look how patient Jesus was with Peter. He didn't get the king that Jesus was. How many times? We don't all have to get it. Not everything that you believe is 100% right. Not everything I believe is 100% right. You know what that means? We need to be patient with each other. Jesus said, you're light of the world and salt to the earth. And he says this, how are we light and salt? By our good works. In fact, Jesus says, Paul says this, you're saved by grace through faith, lest you should boast that God prepared good works that you should walk in them. So just go and love people. Go and love your neighbor as yourself. Go and love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And maybe you should take a break from Facebook. 2 weeks ago, somebody said, you know what, I'm taking a break until the election is over. Maybe, you know, do something. Church is a special place. If everybody voted the same, acted the same, looked the same, smelled the same, you know what that is? A cult. Okay? It's a cult. The church is diverse because we're all at different levels. D.A. Carson said this, and this is a great quote, and it's in there. I'm not going to read it, but he says this: the church comes together not with common income levels, common education, common politics, common jobs, but we come together because Jesus Christ, our allegiance is to him, and we're trying to wrestle with that and figure that out. John Wesley, back in 1774, heated political climate. This was his words of wisdom, and I'll end with this. I met those in our society who had votes in the election, and I advised them this: to vote for the person they judged most worthy. Vote your conscience. Number two, speak no evil of the person they voted against. That's going to be hard to do. Take care that your spirits are not sharpened against those that voted on the other side. That's pretty good advice given over 200 years ago. I have nothing to add to that other than this. Now, I want you to say what Nathaniel said. He said this: Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are King. Let's bow our knees to him. This morning, we want to confess Jesus is Lord. We all have a calling in this world. But ultimately, we live out that calling, and we are reminded, no matter what that calling is, whether it's in the public square or not, that we confess Jesus is Lord, and we confess his kingdom. That we endeavor to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, that we endeavor to follow Jesus, that we endeavor to love people as ourselves. In fact, as Paul says, that we'll love them better than we love ourselves, that we think of them before we even think of ourselves. Father in heaven, we need your wisdom, we need your grace. We pray that King Jesus would invade our hearts, invade our homes, invade our nation, invade our churches, that your people would be light and salt in our world, in our community. Lord, we come to you, and I pray that anyone that hasn't come to you and confessed you as Lord, that they would do that even this morning. That you are a king, not like Bramble, but you are a king unlike any other king. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I humbly submit to you. And we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All of God's people said, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.
Thank you for listening. This was a message recorded at Faith Baptist Church. Faith Baptist Church is located at 331 Silver Street in Greenfield. Our services are on Sunday mornings at 8:45 and 11, with Sunday school for all ages at 10. We also have a midweek service every Wednesday night at 6:30, with something for everyone. Find us on the web at discoverfaithbaptist.com. God bless.